I'm looking at a book right now. It's by Henry Makow, PhD. Top of the book, Illuminati has a square, a triangle rather, eyeball in it. And then it says underneath Illuminati, the cult that hijacked the world. But what grabbed my attention in this book, and again, when I mention books, I read, research, do what I need to do. But so it's not so much that I recommend all of them. You read every single book, you know, like when you eat a steak, there's bones. You got to throw things out. And only mention that to say these words at the front of the book on the Illuminati. Quote, world events do not occur by accident. They are made to happen. Most of them are staged and managed by those who hold the purse strings. Now, that's spoken by a chancellor. He is, former British Secretary of Defense, Dennis Healy. And looking at it, it's, again, amazing to me that when individuals are writing about book after book after book, Illuminati, globalists, you know, what's occurring in the world, you feel it in the air, yeah, but it's because of what's actually there in the air and what is operative on the ground. The reason there is conspiracy, the reason there is an elite, the reason political ideology, economic... centralization, and the reason for that military vision and weapons development, the reason for Ray Kurzweil's singularity moving forward as this former Defense Secretary of England says. I want to read it again. World events do not occur by accident. They are made to happen. Most of them are staged and managed by those who hold the purse strings. How you doing today? This is Russ Dizdar. Shatters Live broadcast. It's a Wednesday night. It's the 15th of June, 2011. Incredible time. I don't know if it's the calm before the storm in many ways. People are predicting things to happen, earthquakes to happen in California. That's what I've listened to anyway. Don't know. Full moon tonight. Rituals here coming up. It's solstice in June. Demon revels in July 1st. It's been about 15 years ago when Sarah Bain was abducted and killed in ritualistic fashion, Deerfield Circle, there out past Alliance, Ohio. And then the very next month in Satanic Revels, Kathy Menendez. The FBI has a big old billboard up. They're offering a reward. Prayers continue to go up to say, Lord, not only bring the individuals to justice, but stop them. This is the kind of slaughter that has the overtones of a serial rapist murderer. But again, that's just the criminalistics, where they do not factor in the ritualistic side. It's kind of like taking a look at Nazi Germany from the kind of a secular, humanist, view of Nazi Germany. A number of the history books that were written about Nazi Germany, the writers had no context of occult symbolism, occult doctrine, demonic ideologies, you know, infused into the hearts and the minds of the developers. I mean, Himmler, the chicken breeder, then becomes the human breeder looking for Aryan blood. Now, that has, all of that plays part in this dark, black river that flows from hell. And it continues. Well, we're going to go over in today's broadcast, we have this theme, The Global Mind Part 2. And this is the one tonight is subtitled, Its Quest. In the notes that you can get, the PDF file notes, it says this, quote, you can see how it's, you can see now its desire, though most have no idea of its insatiable lust. It thinks, devises, and has planned. It's an ancient quest that is being realized in this final generation. I think that our understanding in this day and hour is vital. I think that our understanding, but not only looking at the world events and saying that we don't like what we see, understanding all those voices screaming out there about the elitists and the decentralization and the, well, the dismantling of nations and the push towards centralized government, centralized monetary fund, centralized, well, everything. And though people will look, and if you don't have the grid of the understanding of biblical prophecy, what God is unveiled concerning all of this, well, I think then that's again in the cave. You hear the sound of something ominous. You feel the breath of something ominous. You know that there's something in the room. You get chills up and down your back. But being in the dark cave, you can't see what it actually is. And so there's a lot of writers, and there are those that are speaking on the subject, and they're trying to guess. There's wide and vast agreement, even on the technology of WebBot. You know, the project that sends out the... it's all about scooping vast amount of information, and then bringing it back, and it's also stating in that accumulation of information currently that something's in the air, chaos is around the corner, something catastrophic. You know, all these different things are being said across the board. But I believe that God has given detail. I believe that God has given such specific detail that God could even give in advance, 3,000 years in advance, what the emotional state, what the actual verbal content will be when individuals, the Antichrist, the people of the Antichrist, the nations of the world, the kings of the earth, what they're actually going to be saying, feeling, and how they're going to take their stand. You and I on the surface of things right now, we see again, kind of like the sailboat on top of the water, but underneath, they're going to be ravenous, ferocious, venomous shark. You see the shark fin, you know it's there. And so what you and I see, what you and I feel, we know that it's all there. Now, in this context, as a believer, here's the testimony. It's an incredible hope. I know where I'm going. I know who I will see. I know that I will be raised up. I know that my body will be glorified. I know that in the context of human history, I'm going to see Daniel and Isaiah and Moses and Elijah. I'm going to see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm going to see these characters that God has used by his spirit, all 40 of them will be there. Did you know that? Every single author, writer, I mean, well, they were the vessels, the spirit of God being the author, in bringing forth this massive revelation. God gave enormous communication in the old in reference to the coming of Messiah. And now there's massive, enormous information concerning the end of days. But it's not just about what God's going to do. It is also about what the dark side is doing. And I'm going to say it again, and it might be a challenge to some of you. Only God can give exposure to the dark side's agenda in detail. All the contingency. It's not as though Satan can play games, change his mind, do it. God's beyond that. Matter of fact, we read it in the book of Romans chapter 11, that his ways are beyond tracing out. God is so fantastic in knowing all the contingencies, everything else, what his agenda ultimately is. In the mix of it all, God is able to give definitive, prophetic picture, insight, detail that is irreversible. Can't alter it. Now, you can't say that about anything else, where there's attempts and there's 15% accuracy or 25% accuracy and all those kind of, then you know that it's a finite source, whether human, whether futurologists calculating trends or whether the demonic trying to counterfeit the prophetic of God and really just spelling out their agenda, not so much prophecy, but what it is they intend to do. Well, again, let me welcome all of you listening by satellite right now and by internet radio right now. The potential for the internet radio and satellite right now is incredible. It's just simply our hope here at this moment and this hour on the 15th of June 2011 that in the providence of God, God stretching out his hand, and we ask God again and have already, God save, heal, and deliver, show extraordinary sign and wonder in lives. Show great power, deliver individuals, minister, bring your word out to others, destroy the work of the enemy. And Father, in the context of those who recon the show, listen for political reasons, listen for Luciferian reasons, Lord, we just ask you to minister, to engage, show yourself, show your power, show your hand, but more than anything else, since you are not willing that even one human being perish, God, right here today through this broadcast, save souls, lives. Bring them into the most incredible spiritual experience that any human being could ever experience. The living Christ coming in, the power of forgiveness and freedom, and the gift of indestructible immortality. I want to say blessings to all the believers out there. Keep us in your prayers, strong prayers, and we appreciate that deeply. On the website, shatterthedarkness.net, we have up there this week's theme. We also have up there an overview, an audio overview, and PDF file notes, and you can get those. Please remember, if you're listening now at 6 p.m., maybe some of you by the archives, and welcome to you. I'm looking at those in Poland and in Russia, way out there in the kind of the West, the Middle West. I mean, I couldn't even find a title of a city. And sometimes it's military bases, like way up in Canada, way, way up there, old, American military bases where downloads are occurring. But again, from about 90 countries of the world, blessings to you. And it is incredible how God can stretch out his hand wherever and whenever you listen. We pray his hand upon the broadcast, listen to live, well, 6 months from now, that God will do as we have prayed in Jesus' name, right? So we appreciate that. Keep your prayers into it. Many of you praying for us, you got to realize we can feel it at times and know. And as you do, it's amazing again how this reaches out. It really is to me. Tonight, late night, we have another live radio show. So just quickly to tell you here tonight on Wednesday night, the Ragged Edge Show. We did a series last week called Sexual Decadence and the End of Man, dealing with the moral issue, the dirtying of the human conscience and construct for the sake of spiritual deception and so forth. So tonight on the Ragged Edge Show, from 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time till midnight, there's chat, live chat, call in also. But we're going to add one more discussion on astral sexuality. This is, again, where astral projection and this would involve remote viewers and psychics. But you got to understand now, the websites connected to the concepts of astral sexuality are into the hundreds of thousands, the content of the web. And so it's a worldwide phenomena. It's inseparably connected to that sleep paralysis issue. And so we're going to do a little more kind of recap tonight and get into that from 10 p.m. till midnight. And, of course, that is also archived. So we appreciate your being a part, and let's get into this tonight. Point A on the notes that we have here, understanding the agenda. Now, when we say globalism, Luciferic globalism, understanding that, let me just say this. We can't understand the world if we don't understand the spiritual battle. What happened in the beginning, and so I'm going to give you 4 points tonight concerning understanding the agenda. If you want to know globalism, Globalism reaches way back thousands of years ago in the garden. There was a clash. God gave the protection. We didn't take it. We threw it to the ground and we embraced the lie. And so the liar came in. He's called the God of this age. He's called the evil one in control of the whole world. Satan, the devil, whatever you want to say. Don't be embarrassed. We're talking about a real entity. And the reason why we have such war, such bloodshed, such damage to the human race. As a matter of fact, there is no fall of the human race without the fallen cherub, without the temptation, the seduction, the lies, and what occurred there. There is no fall of the human race without that. And the injection of the sin nature and the death code in our genetics, in our genes. There's just simply no fall. There's no damage without it. So when you read Genesis 3 and you see the engagement, which was real, personal, but you can also see there in Genesis 3:15, the first prophecy in Scripture, basically, prophesying the future spiritual warfare. Christ, Satan, this battle, you know, of crushing the head of the enemy, but also the biting, you know, the heel of the Savior. The idea of the cross and what it was going to take, but also the destruction of the dark side. So there's an unveiling of what came to us was a spiritual war. And we are spiritual beings, body, soul, and spirit. And so it was a spiritual clash, and the fall of the human race brings into all of this God's involvement in redemption, God's involvement in the prophetic concerning, hey, there's going to be a battle, hey, it's going to cost lives, it's going to be an engagement. And what that speaks about there in Genesis 3:15, that spiritual battle war, has everything to do with globalism, everything to do with economics right now, everything to do with globalist ideology in political foundations now, has everything to do with that feeling in the air. That feeling in the air, you got to understand, the prince of the power of the air that I'm talking about, operative today, is the exact same one that visited the human race thousands of years ago and engaged us. Same one, Matthew 4, that when God came in human flesh, engaged Christ and tried to get him to defect. So there's no way to interpret history without the engagement, the actual engagement of Satan's, temptation, seduction, furtherance of his work in the lives of kings and nations and embedding things. Well, the 4 points concerning the agenda, if you want to understand the agenda today, go all the way back to the fall and see the entrance of it. The entrance. Because when you read Genesis 3, then mark down, if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul's talking to the body of Christ at Corinth. He's telling them that he's concerned for them that they, just like Eve, who was tempted by the serpent's cunning, his seduction, just the exact same spiritual methodology that occurred in the garden that brought down the human race was now engaged directly, the same entity. That somehow Satan would lodge those believers, move them through spiritual warfare, through temptation, seduction, in the context by spiritual deception of false apostles and so forth, that they would be led astray from their pure and sincere devotion to Christ. So personal spiritual warfare, Peter says it this way, he experienced it. He lost in the first battle badly, if you remember, at the Lord's table. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Same one there from the garden. Do you understand he doesn't sleep? Do you understand that he's an entity alive? Once he entered in, he's been operative. I mean, Old Testament scripture gives us that picture of history and then of God's developmental history towards Messiah. And we see that interaction. We see Revelation 12 in the dragon, Satan, there, based on knowing prophecy, they're waiting for the Christ child to be born so he can destroy him. And he couldn't do it, so he went after Israel. And he couldn't destroy and annihilate all of Israel, so he's after the church, those who hold to the testimony of Jesus and the Word of God. So you've got to understand that the current day that we're living in and everything that's moving us towards the manifestation, the actual broader events, what you feel in the air is ancient. What you feel in the air, it is ancient. It is old, but it is regime, spiritually I'm speaking now, the archai, the cosmocrat, or the porneia pneumonikai, and so forth, these entities, they are all massively manifesting, operative in the three main categories: political, military, economic. I mean, the general warfare against the church and, and against the gospel. I mean, I have no doubt the dark side, Satan, fights against the message here. We have no doubt that there is an attempt to wipe out the entire broadcast center and everything, the research center here. So there's times that there's, just like the Apostle Paul says later on in ministry, that they were, and this is in the book of Thessalonians. Hey, we sought to come to you. He's going to go minister to people. But he says, but Satan stopped us through using individuals like Judas. You remember the story of Judas where it says literally Satan entered him. There's the outside influence. There's the pawn. But there's times when Satan enters those who don't know Christ, haven't been born again, and can use for his purposes. He used Judas to betray Christ unto death. Oh, it was all known. It was all known, but he was there. So we've got to understand that in the context of everything in all of history, there is no anthropology, no sociology, no psychology. There just simply is. There is no study. Even when we're studying paleontology and we're studying everything, the hidden ziggurats and ancient societies and all the rest, when we're looking at all of that from the point of the fall, there is no way to get around the development of the satanic side, the Nephilim and the bloodlines and the demonized nations and the Nephilim and satanic architecture of temples for the sake of the slaughtering of humans and human sacrifice. So when I mention again global mind, when you hear me say global mind, I'm saying Satan. And I'm saying Satan in all of his immense, what he has thought up, what he has dreamed, what his insatiable lust is. His insatiable lust dethrone God and exalt himself to become God. There's no other greater agenda on his life. Taking one third of the angelic host and listen, that's enormous. Is it hundreds of millions or hundreds of billions? I don't know. But it's enormous in the skies, in the air, around the earth, and on the ground is entrenchment. The domain of darkness. It is described, we need this revelation of God in this dark cave of fallen human history. We need the light of Scripture, someone to say exactly what is before us, exactly how we got here, exactly how we can get out of it. Christ, the cross, an old rugged cross, has everything to do with indestructible immortality and the end of this trail of tears, pain, the rape of the human race, the sin and filth. Well, so much more. So much more. 4 points in understanding that current agenda and the coming new order, the coming, all that's going to be coming out, the events of chaos, Antichrist, false prophet, deception of the world, mark of the beast, image of the beast, the abyss being opened, the mother of all rituals, demons released on a global planetary scale to draw everyone that's been committed to the Antichrist to Armageddon. So if you don't understand that from where we are right now, the ultimate end is Armageddon, because Satan has to attempt to slaughter, to stop the descent of the living Christ. This will be the third attempt to destroy God. And you read the very next chapter, Revelation 20, you'll see why. I believe this, listen, that Satan and the dark side understands the infallible, irrevocable word of God and the prophetic accuracy, sovereignty. So I believe that side, in all of its knowing that its time is short and it's furious, because its entire agenda is based on the fact, listen now, globalism, politically, economically, militarily, all that's going on in the world, even on even as the environment is in decay and bondage and disintegrating, as everything moves towards the end. Matter of fact, Daniel 9:26, towards the end of that verse, here's what it says: the end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. You see, the end is unlike anything in human history. That's how Jesus interpreted what's to come. There's nothing behind us that can give some measure of understanding of what is to come. What is to come is off the scales, but it's linked, because the one causing it is the one that entered the garden, the one that rose up against Israel and enticed King David, the one whose collective were involved in creating Nephilim, and all those tribes demonized, and Moloch and Baal and Nebo and Chemosh and all the rest to this very day. The spiritual warfare you experience is inseparably linked as collective to the fallen cherub and his forward-going agenda. So if you want to understand history, you want to understand your own spiritual warfare as a believer in Christ, well, the fall of the human race, that's the entrance, and the methodology used there will be used to the very end, will be used on you. Do you know Christ, the power of the Spirit of God? Do you appropriate the authority of Jesus? Do you watch? Remember Colossians 4:2? When the Spirit of God says that we're to be devoted to prayer, being watchful. I loved looking up the Greek word. I loved the definition that Kenneth Wiest, a great Greek scholar, gave, that it refers to looking for the impending danger. That there is a call to actually look for the impending danger. Now, for the believer, that doesn't come from God. I mean, the impending danger isn't God coming. No, it's what the dark side is doing. The impending danger of satanizing political ideology, satanizing military weapons development and vision, satanizing the world monetary centralization. Everything in Scripture tells us the dark side will accomplish these different goals. And if you read Revelation 19:19, well, Satan, the entire collective, and what they do in the earth for that 7-year development, once the Antichrist has the apocalypse, they make it. They get to Armageddon. They have the world's largest military, supernaturally charged, transmuted. The weapons, I have no question that just as the demonic side can shoot those arrows, Ephesians 6, communications, involuntary thoughts, involuntary feelings, you know, ideas to move away from God to cause doubt. I have no idea. I have no question whatsoever that they can also send thoughts, doubts, questions, and also information, ideas. Why is it that some scientists wake up in the middle of the night, all of a sudden ideas pop into their head, and all of a sudden they come up with an incredible new weapon? They come up with a new idea. Ingo Swann, father of modern remote viewing, prior and in the context of the development of Stargate, millions and millions of U.S. dollars developing soldiers, super spy soldiers. He got the idea for coordinate remote viewing, that is, how to tap into that collective out there. You can call it the Akashic Records or the Unconscious Collective if you want, but the Word of God defines it as the Prince of the Power of the Air and that whole collective of the Archai and Cosmocrator and those entities that are named. Military remote viewers, not having the Spirit of God's discernment and knowledge in the dark, dark cave, ideas came in. Thoughts came in. Direction came. Millions of dollars. The Trojan horse of cutting-edge military advantage. The Russians, the Brits, the United States, fall into the same category as the Nazi weapons war machine. Well, because they're taking in the ideas that have popped into the heads and so forth. Out of the 4 points, the fall of the human race. Number two, occupy and solidify that kingdom. It's described in Colossians, when a person gets saved, they are literally, the word means to be ripped up and translated out of the dominion of darkness. Exousia, that temporal reign domain of darkness. You're pulled up out of that, and you're put into the basileia of Christ, the kingdom of Christ, the reign and rule and realm involving God's power and God's will and God's word and God's agenda. You as a believer are now in the basileia of Jesu Christu. Salvation rips you up out of the ownership, legalities, and actual connection to the fallen cherub. Sin nature has been rendered powerless. A new nature has been put in. Satan has no more rights over you because old rugged cross, Christ, blood of Jesus. You come to Christ and receive him as Lord and Savior. All of that is severed along with your sins. And a new presence and a power and a position. I think that's why God had to finally say to the depressed believers there when the book of Hebrews was written, do not they were neglecting, and God is saying, do not neglect so great a salvation. No spiritual experience is bigger, broader, and more necessary. Right from the fall of the human race come the occupying and the solidifying. And that involves point three, the battle. I mean, all through the Old Testament, I mean, even the Nephilim and that whole issue there and the whole world becoming so evil and so, in the flood was to save humanity, was to wipe out radical evil manifested in the world, dissolving humanity just to just a few left, just real humans. I mean, when we think in terms of God's action, redemptive actions in the Old Testament, wipe out that other nation, wipe out everything, he's talking about either Nephilim tribe-oriented, you know, multi-generational ones down, demonized tribes, so forth, so horribly badly demonized and changed in that day before the cross, that was deliverance. That was one way to close the door on the overwhelming spread of demonic manifestation in lives, in families, in tribes, in nations, and broadening. Let me tell you this. Satan's presence and kingdom will continue to grow wherever there's doors that will open. And it always begins with one thing, then the next, and the next, and the next. That's, again, demonstrated 2 Kings 21:22. When Manasseh, he opened this door and that door and this door and finally to Moloch, and he was convinced under that dark reign then to sacrifice his own son. Once again, you got to understand that without intervention, that side just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing because of the legalities that you and I as the human race gave it. The laws of engagement are there has to be legalities. Chucking God, embracing the lie, that opens the door. If you're not saved, the concept of opening your heart, turning to Christ, believing on his word, giving your life to him, being born of the Spirit of God, that has everything to do with the idea of laws of engagement. When God calls you to repent, you got to do that. You got to turn around. God calls you to repent towards God and then put faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, allowing him to come into your life. He's there. If you're lost, he's desiring to come in, bring the Spirit of God in, save you. Without him, where are you going to go? What are you going to be? Understanding the agenda today. Point one, understand the fall. Understand point two, the occupancy and the solidifying and development of that dark kingdom. And then number three, remember that it's always a battle, constantly a battle, constantly, you know, battling against Job, battling against Israel, battling against Christ as he comes, battling against the disciples. Satan is asked to sift you as wheat. Acts chapter 5, the church begins to be unleashed with the power of God there and the unleashing of the gospel. Thousands are getting saved. By the time we get to Acts chapter 5, Satan is infiltrating Sapphira, Ananias and Sapphira. He actually filled them. The Greek word used for Satan filling them is the same word that is used concerning believers being filled with the Holy Spirit. Satan literally was filling their lives to bring in deception, seduction, corruption, battle against the church. Ephesians 6, your battle is not against flesh and blood. The globalism today could not be without the fallen cherub's conception. It's his idea. Did you know that? Does the New Agers know that? Do those who have embraced the counterfeit peace, counterfeit New World Order, counterfeit, you know, Age of Aquarius, and the 2012ers embracing the counterfeit after the catastrophe, a new world? Listen, to embrace the counterfeit is only again, just taking the words off the lips of a masqueraded fallen cherub and believing that. Do you understand the father of mind control? The father is listed in 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see. You realize now why I'm talking about the concept of being in a dark cave. Humanity is in like a dark cave. Oh, right now where I'm at, it's bright, it's sunny, it's beautiful, it's 71 degrees. The trees are out there. I watched today 3 chipmunks out here on my front porch come right up to the little window. It's as if they were knocking on the window. It was fun to watch them. I put some peanuts out there. I don't know if that's right or not. One came up, grabbed one, sat in the corner. It's a joy to watch these little critters. But in the context of it, Antichrist might be having underground meetings with a false prophet in blood sacrifices deep in the belly of Europe, even today. Even he, as the ancient brotherhood, this Illuminati, this real Luciferian conglomerate, they understand this. The number one way to cross over from the dark side into our realm, human blood sacrifice. Man, that was occurring all the way back into the Old Testament, wasn't it? And with satanic ritual abuse hitting the numbers of maybe up to 100 million for generations, they all know and have been a part of and have seen and have been forced to participate in human blood sacrifice. So the battle is ongoing. The battle is still here. Literally, the launching of the church, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Pastors, theologians, biblical scholars, we have no Christendom without the battle. We have no Christendom without our concept and understanding that we've been launched into enemy territory with the tools of victory, with the tools of authority and the armor of God and the powerful gospel. We've been launched by Jesus Christ as the ecclesia, the body of Christ, the called out ones, to be unleashed into the world. You are, listen, believer in Christ, let it be known today. Let the Spirit of God remind you. You've been unleashed. You've been sent. You've been clothed. Have you been clothed with power from on high? Do you realize why we need that power? Why we need sheer Holy Spirit power? By the way, there's nothing higher. Think about it. Nothing higher than that being clothed with the power from on high. Nothing more joyful. Wow, the power of God on simple believers in Jesus. What? To win the world to Christ? To disciple them? To pray for healing? To cast out demons? To be light to the world? To do good works in the name of Jesus of Nazareth? When we're doing that, just like Mark's Gospel 16:20 says, the disciples went out everywhere evangelizing. You know, they're preaching Jesus everywhere, leading people to Christ, praying for healing, casting out demons. You know, the church is the aggressor. It is, if you look today, the church is this, I mean, it's like God has to drag so many of us along. When you look in the early church, when Jesus sent them, they went. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. John the Baptist. You ever read about the story? Gospel of John chapter 1. There was a man sent by God. I mean, even Isaiah has this incredible experience seeing the pre-incarnate Christ, Isaiah 6, Yahweh Adonai, holy, 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 the thrice holy, Lord God Almighty, who was, is to come. That's what it says in the book of Revelation. His encounter with Yahweh Adonai, the pre-incarnate Christ. Who shall I send? Here am I, send me. Christian, you've been sent. Stop preoccupying yourself with all the other things. What does the Lord and Master of your life say to do? Take up that cross, deny self. If you don't, you can't be his disciple. You can't bear fruit, John 15, without doing it his way. You can't turn the church into a country club, a society. You can't humanize it. You can't turn it into what the culture wants. You can't sit back there and allow Jezebel or the New Age or anything else to infiltrate it. It has to be what it's meant to be. The body of Christ. This is the Soma a Christu. This is the Corpus Christi. This is the amazing body of Christ. Jesus said, I will found that. I will build my church. In that statement, declares the indestructible nature of the real body of Christ, declares the victory ultimately of the body of Christ. When Christ comes, oh, I could sit here just like you talking about all of the bad things in the body of Christ. But I got some great things to tell you too. And the bottom line is, you and I, we are not the Lord of the church. We're not the judge of the church. The seven churches of Revelation, who is there to judge and deal with each one of them? Jesus. So what good is it for someone to get into the flesh, slander the whole body, categorize it all together as one big clump of failure, and do nothing ourselves? Our screaming at the failures of others doesn't justify the failure in our own life to be under the lordship of Christ and to be doing what he said. Jesus said, as the Father sends me, so send I you. You know, he commanded us, go into all the nations, make disciples, baptize them, teach them everything whatsoever I've taught you, teach them to obey that. In obedience to Christ is the, we will be sent. If you're obeying the words of Jesus in the simplest of discipleship, it's forward going. You cannot help but win souls, find power in prayer, come to the full expression of the power from on high on you, in you, through you. All the disciples, first and second generation believers, all of them for the first 30 years, that's the book of Acts. All of Spirit-filled believers, they were on the field, they were active. You know, when I have people today tell me, I'm Spirit-filled. Have you led a soul to Christ in the last 5 years? Have you launched out seeking the lost, highways and byways? Let me say this. I can't wait on anybody else. I'm going to obey Jesus. You can't wait on anybody else. If your Christian friends won't do it, if your pastors won't do it, if the elders won't do it, you do it. You bear the fruit. You win the souls. You feel the heart of God coursing through you. You see the joy expressed when someone is born again of the Spirit of God. You pray for the healing of bodies and watch what Jesus will do. You command those demons fearlessly out and off of people like Jesus did. You keep obeying the word. Where there's failures, where there's in the flesh, go to Jesus. Get cleaned up, get healed up, get filled back up. I know that I'm preaching you today, but that's the Spirit of God. I know that. I'm hearing it. Understanding the agenda, the fall of the human race, the occupying and solidifying and development, the battle. That's what I'm talking about, the battle. And then ultimately the establishment of globalism. That's just simply Satan's goal. A luciferic globalism bleeding through political, the nations. Military development is, he has to create planetary defense weapons. He has to develop a massive checkbook, a world fund. Where's he going to get the trillions and trillions and trillions to do all that he's going to do? If you will look forward in Scripture to Revelation 19:19, Antichrist is on the field. The luciferic global army out there in the future is on the field. The most advanced, largest, technologically, spiritually charged. I mean, these, read verse 20. These are the guys, the men and the women that reject Christ. They take the mark, worship the image of the beast. I mean, they are demonically charged, demonically committed. And the only reason they're there, make war on the Lamb. The only reason they're there, raise their weapons into the sky. And future prophecy shows us that the Antichrist, the fallen cherub through the Antichrist, the dragon, the power in the air manifested, Babylon, this massive spiritual manifestation worldwide, every city, every nation, every place. This goes beyond old Babylon where Daniel was. There'll be more demons and more demonic power and more demonic ideology and more Satan in humanity's face than Babylon. Far, far worse. And God says 2,600 years ago, Daniel 9:26, that one part of that verse, the end that you and I are talking about right now, it will come like a flood. You know what a flood's like, right? Those of you who have been into it or seen it and all that's going around in the world, in the United States, even floods. Thousands have died in them. hundreds of billions of dollars of homes and places. I mean, look at Katrina. I had a little flood here. Look what it did to me. War will continue. This whole, listen, when we come up to the days of the events, when the restrainer is removed, it's all going to come like a torrent, humanly unstoppable satanic flood. The events, the development of and the crystallizing of Luciferic globalism, politically, economically, militarily, it'll be there. So when I quote you out of this other little book here, Illuminati, The Cult That Hijacked the World by Henry Mackow. What did that Dennis Healy, former British Secretary of Defense, a chancellor, say? What did he say? Quote, world events do not occur by accident. They are made to happen. Most of them are staged and managed. Ultimately, whenever you see globalism, you're seeing Satan's broader manifestation and accomplishing of his agenda. Listen, you can read in Daniel 9, 10, and 11, and 12, where Antichrist, the beast kingdom, and all that is successful, gains its success in the fallen, God-rejecting, Christ-rejecting world. So I want to plead to those who are not believers in Christ, even to those who are secretly just monitoring the show. Are we really that big of a threat? Well, maybe your commitment to Satan. If you as a human being lose your soul, that's on your head. The blood is on your head now because Jesus loves you. Jesus seeks you. And right now, this morning, this moment, the Word of God says now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Right now, God is ready. Doesn't matter if you're not. The human race is not ready. But God has come. God is seeking. God is moving in the world. That's the good news. So those who download there in the western mid part of Russia, in Poland, in the middle of China, for those of you worldwide that are downloading this, ultimately it's about God reaching you. And for you to hear that Jesus, who died on the cross, rose from the dead, he's coming again. And all the events that you're seeing in the world, they're not going to make sense outside of the fact there's a spiritual war. Humanity can end up losing their soul forever. You can, if you don't get it fixed. And you can't do that with communism. You can't do that with atheism. You can't do that with nihilism. You can't do that with Luciferianism. It comes from Christ, who died, rose from the dead, who gives the gift of indestructible mortality, who gives the gift of salvation, and summons you to come now. Now in this, you and I who are listening and gathering and talking about it right here together, point B on the notes, by the way, says this: when you understand the agenda, you can see the development. In other words, once you've looked enough into the scriptures and seen this is what Satan is doing and this is what Satan's doing, that's why Paul, knowing the Old Testament well, was able to, led by the Spirit of God, join in 2 Corinthians 11. When you read this, you're going to see how He takes the event of the fall of the human race, the temptation in the garden, and by the Spirit of God tells the Corinthian believers, thousands of years later, believers in Christ, hey, he's concerned because just as Eve, humanity was tempted in the garden by Satan, by the fallen cherub, just in the exact same way, they themselves might have their lives, their minds, led astray from their pure and sincere devotion to Christ. Anything leading you astray? You see, sometimes people get led astray. They don't even know it's the work of the enemy. The enemy loves to do that influence, and you don't know. That's what those arrows are in Ephesians 6. So when you know the Word of God, my friend, is there any reason you shouldn't be studying the Word of God deeply, systematically, consistently? Is there any reason you shouldn't be putting it into practice again and again and again, knowing the victory of Christ, knowing the Word of God, putting it into practice? You know what it does? It expands your spiritual life. It expands your ability to know that Christ has never left you, never will forsake you, that God is dwelling within you, that you're a temple of the Spirit of God, and there is no need to be afraid that by His Word and by the power of the Spirit of God dwelling in and on you, you can be made to be not only fearless, but powerfully effective in winning other souls and lives to Jesus. Oh, there's going to be those that don't. And you move on from that one that resists and spits and rejects and tramples the blood of Christ. There are still those that will. As a matter of fact, based on the same biblical prophecy I'm telling you about in this sovereign work of God, the reason that Christ has not yet returned and all this come down, 2 Peter chapter 3. God's reason for giving the time, not having Christ come back yet, for the salvation of souls. You ever read that? And you read that. God's patience means salvation. God wants more people saved. For those who have just said, I'm saved, the world's bad, and I'm going to sit back and yell at everything and wait till I'm out of here. Don't be so stupid. That is not the agenda of God, not the heart of God, not the will of God. We're sent out to do the will of God, to do the work to the very last day. That's why Jesus said, and I will be with you always to the very end of the age. So out there at the coffee shop, going down there to the, where you get all the groceries and the grub and all that stuff, you know, wherever it might be, there you should be praying for, looking for. Every day you are sent as an ambassador of God, a missionary to lead others to the King of Kings. There is no shame in me telling anyone, king or prostitute, doesn't make any difference, about Christ. I have no shame concerning him and what he's done. When you understand the agenda, you can see the development. I have point three, reading the dragon's mail. Now, the source of the intel, Word of God. Connecting the dots can only be done by the Word of God. And looking at the two primary themes of Satan is Luciferic doctrine, the evolution of humanity to a new whatever he's claiming. It's a lie. And the Luciferic agenda, globalism. Let me give you 1 Peter 1, 10 and 11. 1 Peter 1, 10 and 11. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net. We love you. Remember us in prayer. Hey, remember us in support. God bless.